So just living in our society today, I think it's of great importance that we set our youth on the solid foundations of biblical truths. Now, the resurrection being one of the most important truths that our children should be rooted on. It is also one of the, most foolish as far as the world is concerned when it comes to the claim of Christianity. To be able to raise someone from the dead. One theologian said this, N.T. Wright said, to this day, many people in the modern West assume that anyone who really believes in the bodily resurrection of Jesus must be either gullible or crazy. Show of hands, who here is believes in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have a choice. You're either gullible or crazy. All right. But that's how the world sees it, right? It's either we're either gullible or crazy. That's why the message of the cross doesn't land well on people, because a lot of it because of this. Because we believe that our Savior rose again. It's hard to believe. Even Peter, did you see Peter? How many times did John have to like shake Peter up? I can see it, he's gone, he's alive, he's getting... Because it's so hard to believe. But we have to realize that, again, resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. Tertullian, a Christian writer, and theologian and apologist from Carthage in North Africa, once said this, that the resurrection of the dead is the Christian's trust. By it, we are believers. The Christian faith is futile if the resurrection did not happen. Let me say that again. The Christian faith is futile if the resurrection did not happen. One commentary writes that the Christian faith is described in Scripture as dependent upon a risen Christ. Do we believe that? That the Christian faith, as Scripture says, is dependent upon a risen Christ. If Christ remained in death, if Christ remained dead, where is the hope for a believer? Right? What I mean by that is that since death is the punishment for sin and the end result of sin, then there can be no escape from sin without the resurrection. You guys get that? If death is punishment and the end result of sin, how do believers escape sin if there is no resurrection? We would still be all in the penalty of sin, which is death, if there was no resurrection. Gardiner comments that if Christ died and remains dead, he is no different from anyone else represented by Adam. He remains under judgment, and those whom he supposedly represents also remain under judgment and are no better off than they were without him. Imagine baptism, okay? We've just recently baptized a few young people. And we said that baptism is identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. So imagine baptism with no resurrection. What's going to happen? Death, burial, and then what? That's it. People will just... They would just stay down there. They will drown. Exactly. That's why it's foolish to think of Christianity without resurrection. But at the same time, the idea of resurrecting somebody from the dead is also foolish. It's easier to believe that somebody died for us, right? Because death is a normal part of life. But this next part... The resurrection part is hard to believe. That's why, as we've talked about during our series in the Corinthians, that Christ is a stumbling block. The death of a Messiah, not just his death, but his resurrection is one of the greatest stumbling blocks when it comes to believing Christianity. Some Christians preach strongly about the death of Christ, and somehow reduce the resurrection as a happy ending to the story. But Paul sees it differently in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you guys to read this. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. Do we have it up? Maybe not. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. I'll just read it for you. Oh, it's up. You guys read. Right. Those of us here have been lifelong Christians. Paul's saying, if you gave up your life to believe in this Christ, and if he hasn't been raised, then you of all people is to be pitied. Because you believe in some kind of, you know, some kind of absurd miracle, suppose it. But we believe, because of the faith that God has given those of us here who believe, we believe that Christ has and he's still alive. So you see, what we celebrate every year in the resurrection of Christ is something that we ought to celebrate every day. If Good Friday is the celebration of the mercy and grace of God in the death of Christ as the payment for the penalty of our sins, then Resurrection Sunday is a celebration of the power of God over death so that those who believe in Christ may have life. Do we believe that? Amen. Amen. In other words, Good Friday is not really good without Resurrection Sunday. They go together. They have to. So as a church, we strive to preach the entire gospel, whether from the pulpit, from the songs that we sing, and through the special presentation that you have just witnessed. And all of that is to say that the salvation that the God of the Bible offers is complete. Okay, it's not lacking in anything. Payment for the penalty of sin, and then victory over the effect of sin. Right, let me say that again. The salvation that the God of the Bible offers is complete. It's not lacking in anything. It offers payment for the penalty of sin and victory over the effect of sin, so that those of us who put our faith and confidence in Christ Jesus may be with him forever. Is that you? If not, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? As a church, we strive to present the gospel in its full form. We don't just talk about the death. We don't just talk about, his burial. But we have to talk about his resurrection as well. That's where our hope is rooted on. Amen? Let's pray. The Lord.